First of all, we'll start the week with some really good news. Chapel Hill police spent much of yesterday searching for a missing woman, 78-year-old Lydia Upchurch. Yesterday evening, though, police reported that she had been safely located. Police also announced over the weekend that they've arrested three individuals in connection with the murder of Kason Thorpe on South Estes Drive earlier this month. 20-year-old Sarad Folly of Carrboro has been charged with conspiracy to commit homicide and armed robbery and being an accessory to homicide after the fact. The other two suspects are juveniles. Their names and their charges will remain confidential unless their cases are officially moved to Superior Court. Police say two of the arrests happened Thursday night. The third was Friday morning. In education news, no school for students in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, or Orange County schools today in honor of Lunar New Year, but the Orange County School Board does meet tonight at 7 in the Witted Building in Hillsboro. Board members will consider funding for facility upgrades at Orange High School, and they'll hold a work session on upcoming capital investments and summer school programs. Earlier this month, the board convened to discuss results from the Panorama Family School Relationship Survey. With more on that, here's 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward.
Lee Williams, Orange County Schools' Chief Equity Officer, said the survey is a tool which allows schools to work towards fixing inequities.
The whole idea about these surveys are how is the perception and how are we engaging in schools. So especially thinking about our family panorama survey, it is engaging, thinking about how our families feel comfortable coming into schools, how is their engagement in schools, are they aware of all the things that we have. That's not anything that we can see in Power Schools, Educator's Handbook.
The survey covered 9 areas, including academic needs, engagement, and school safety. Orange County Schools Chief Communications Officer Kevin Smith said there was an approximately 50% completion rate of the survey. However, Smith added 93% of respondents' home language was English, compared to only 4% of Spanish speakers.
As far as home language, this was the first really difficult pill to swallow. That's not a representative sample of our district.
Smith said one survey question asked parents if they know what mental health and wellness resources or counseling services are available at their child's school. 59% of parents said yes, while 41% of parents said no.
You all can think about some of the ramifications of that.
The barriers to engagement category was the largest section in the survey, with 13 questions, Smith said. He noted childcare needs, transportation challenges, and concerns about getting to school safely were less of an issue for most survey respondents. However, a busy schedule was found to be a barrier for many parents becoming involved in their child's education. This includes talking with teachers and becoming more involved with the school community.
5% of families meet in person with teachers monthly or more at the school. Maybe that's the right number, but it just seems like a very small number. The higher the education, the higher the income, the higher the attainment, the more white, the more those identify you, the busier your schedule is and the less you're engaging with school because of your busy schedule.
Smith noted, though, parents said they were directly involved with their children outside of school.
How often do you talk with your child about what their class is learning? 83% said pretty often. To what extent do you know how your child is doing socially, social-emotional well-being of your child? 61%.
Orange County students also completed a panoramic survey in the fall, which approximately half of students responded to. Students had to get permission from their parents to take the survey. Jessica Dreyer, the Director of Student Engagement and Support Services for Orange County Schools, highlighted issues for students the survey illustrated.
Areas of concern, how often are you able to pull yourself out of a bad mood? Only 46% of our students answered favorably to that. When everybody around you gets angry, how relaxed can you stay? 43% responded favorably during the past 30 days. How clearly were you able to describe your feelings? Only 49% of our elementary students answered favorably.
Smith said ultimately, the survey allowed the Board of Education to establish baseline data, which schools will use in the upcoming months to align with their school improvement processes. Monique Felder, the superintendent of Orange County Schools, agreed the data was helpful for planning purposes.
Trying to pinpoint what all is going on with a child and not just focusing on one area, we have a number of data points that we can look at.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Tonight's meeting of the school board will be in Hillsboro, also meeting at 7 tonight, the Hillsboro Town Board. Their agenda includes an annual report from the Metropolitan Planning Organization and a discussion of how to pursue federal funding for important local projects. And Orange County's Opioid Advisory Committee is also meeting tonight, their first meeting since being officially assembled last fall. That's a committee of local leaders tasked with figuring out how the county should spend nearly $7 million from a legal settlement with opioid distributors. Here's Orange County Commissioner Sally Green.
What your listeners need to know is that a committee that was organized through the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners, which I had the privilege of serving on, negotiated a distribution formula for that settlement so that 85% of that money is going to come directly to the counties. 15% will go to the legislature, 85% goes directly to the counties. Orange County's share is millions of dollars, and we are already seeing a little bit of that. But the reason I say this with emphasis is that in most states, this is not the case. In most states, the money is going to go to something like the tobacco fund that was used to distribute the tobacco settlement, or it's going to go mostly to the state to be competitively released to counties through a grant process, or to a third party. But of course, the best solution is for it to go straight to the counties who know what to do with the money. So that's the big picture. The other thing to know is that Orange County had already been doing a lot of mitigation work and education work on the opioid crisis before this settlement came about. So in fact, the strategies that Orange County is using to address the crisis are turning out to be strategies that are leading strategies in the state.
That's Orange County Commissioner Sally Green there. You can get the full conversation in the News on the Hill section of our website, chapelboro.com. Over to Raleigh now, where Republican lawmakers have officially asked the state Supreme Court to revisit some of their earlier decisions related to legislative redistricting and voter ID. The court ruled against Republicans in those cases last year when a majority of judges were Democrats. The court is now majority Republican, though, after last year's election. No word yet whether the court will revisit the cases or when that might happen. Back locally, some sad business news. Mosaic Tapas Bistro and Wine Bar in downtown Carrboro announced its closure last week after a year and a half in business. Owner and chef Baptist Navin made that announcement on Thursday. Mosaic had previously been the French fine dining restaurant Provence, which opened in 2002. Navin reimagined the concept and rebranded in the summer of 2021. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including a piece from the Chatham News and Record about a neighborhood that lost its broadband service for weeks at a time on multiple occasions last year. Hey, 6:18 is your time. Today is Monday, January 23rd. It's the first day of Triangle Restaurant Week. It's back across the area. Head out and about and visit local restaurants now through Sunday for special meals all week long. You can get the full list of participating restaurants and menus at tryarestaurantweek.com, tryrestaurantweek.com. Also tonight, once you're done eating, head back home and turn on the TV because a UNC student is going to be on national TV this evening performing on America's Got Talent All-Stars. Dario Liakovetsky is a dental student at UNC. I might have just butchered his last name. He does a rock cello act with his brother Emil. Emil and Dario will be on NBC tonight at 8. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Town Hall Grill. Historic night last night for Armando Baycott, Saturday night actually, and another big win for UNC men's basketball, 80-69 over NC State. RJ Davis led the way in scoring with 26. Baycott was the one who made history though, 23 points and 18 rebounds. That was his 61st double-double, breaking the career record set by Billy Cunningham back in 1965 for a Tar Heel. Also breaking Tyler Hansborough's record for career rebounds by a Tar Heel. All on a night when UNC was honoring the 1993 national champions. Here's Baycott after the game.
I mean, I really just think my whole career, I've just been growing and growing as a player. Freshman year, I had a lot of tough struggles. I mean, the team, too, I started off really good, then struggled all throughout the season. But, I mean, I never gave up. Coach Williams, Coach Davis, they all stayed on me, told me to work hard. Coming back that next year, Coach, he brought in De'Ron Sharp, Walker Kessler, and those two guys in the NBA right now. And I didn't look at it as something like Coach just recruited two All-American bigs over me. I just looked at it as a challenge. And that whole summer during the pandemic, I just worked my tail off and just kept working and working. And I just got a lot better, and it showed.
That's Armando Bacot there. Scary moment during the game when NC State's Taquavion Smith had to be wheeled off the court on a stretcher after falling after a mid-air foul by Leaky Black. Smith has been released from the hospital, though x-rays came back negative, and he tweeted that he is okay. He's now listed as day-to-day. NC State's next game is tomorrow night, so we'll see if he's back on the court then. The Tar Heels are also back in action tomorrow night. They're at Syracuse starting at 9 p.m. 17th-ranked Carolina women's basketball also got a big win over the weekend, 70-57 over Georgia Tech. That game was yesterday in Carmichael. Deja Kelly led the way with 18 points, including 4 of 6 shooting from three-point range. Three others scored in double figures as well, including Alyssa Ustby with 17 points and a game-high 8 rebounds. That's 5 ACC wins in a row now for the Tar Heels. First time they've done that in the Courtney Banghart era. They'll look to keep the streak going on Thursday when they head out on the road to face Pitt. Elsewhere in sports, UNC Wrestling beat Duke 37-6 on Friday. In tennis, the second-ranked Tar Heel women got wins over Wisconsin and Auburn, but the men lost narrowly to ninth-ranked South Carolina. In hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got another win on Saturday, 5-2 over the Islanders. Second straight win by that exact same score. They're on the road again this Wednesday, taking on the Dallas Stars. And finally, some possible UNC football news. This is unconfirmed, but On3 Sports reports Carolina is set to hire Jason Jones as their new cornerbacks coach. Jones has been a defensive coach for 15 years. Most recently, he spent the last 3 seasons at Indiana.